Hi, guys. Vinny Salcido here and Dan Reyes. We're here with another episode of No Quitters. And we have a special guest. That now, all of our stories of the people that we bring are incredible. Here's another incredible story of someone that overcame several different challenges, and he's going to share them with us. But he owns multiple businesses, a staffing company. He owns restaurants, and he's blown these things up to... Most recent, one of your restaurants was Huntington Beach, number one restaurant in the city of Huntington Beach, which is a huge pat on the back. Congratulations on that. Without further ado, we want to introduce Ivan Maldonado. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And just remember, we want to showcase people, regular people that you guys can associate yourselves with that have gone through the same problems that more than likely you guys have gone through, but just took it a little bit different and use that as a pillar to succeed, right? So let's just jump right into it, Ivan. Tell us a little bit, like, throughout the course of your career, what were some challenges that you faced?
Okay. So I think in every business that I've opened, there's always struggles, right? There's mm-hmm. always the hard part, which is the beginning. You know, it's, and I mean, just thinking back, I'll tell you guys a little bit about like how I got into being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Tell us.
My career was, I have my bachelor's degree in finance.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be in banking for my entire life. And I was like, okay, that's what I want to be, right? And then I got fired from a bank. So oh, I moved shit. To another one and I got fired from that one. So it wasn't for me. And it's, I think the thing for me was that I figured out like how to make the most commission in my job. And these banking institutions were pushing hard for more accounts. Right. And you know, for me, it was like, okay, great. I'm in the right place. Cause they want us to sell.
Right.
But it was, it got harder as they got stricter on the banking system.
Okay.
So for me, it's just, I...
Don't tell me it was Wells Fargo.
It was Wells Fargo, actually. Yeah. I was during the middle of all of that. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then from that point, you know, I was like, you know, I'm not going to... This is not for me. Uh-huh. I can't work for somebody. Right? So then I went and I did commission only for a construction company.
Okay.
And wow. Yeah, with the construction company, I was out going to appointments and I was selling construction projects. But the one thing that I introduced to that company was solar. It was starting to become popular here in California.
Okay.
Nice. And I found some programs that were county-based and were easy to sell.
Okay.
So I created a good pitch and I was the number one seller for the company. Then I became a sales manager. And then from there, I kind of realized like, I see... how this is working for them. Why am I giving them all my money, right?
Yeah.
So then I opened a solar company, but it was more of the marketing side. Ah. So we had like over 100 telemarketers setting up appointments. And we'd send people out, we'd go with them, train them, and we'd sell solar projects. And we did that for 3 years until every electrician became a solar company. So things, profit margins dropped. So I figured, you know, this is the time for us to move on. And I guess talking about the struggles,
was that your first business, by the way?
That was my first business. Yeah.
Okay. And you grew it to 100 telemarketers.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a big accomplishment right there. Right.
Like
when people go through getting fired from one job and then getting fired from the same job at another bank, right? Some people just get stuck there, man. Like, like, what is it? Is it me? Is it what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you just saw that as like, man, this is not for me. I'm going to go do something bigger for myself.
Yep.
Right. And at that point, like, what was going through your mind?
So I was almost, like, it felt like I was against the wall. I either had to break through that wall and just see what's on the other side or just put up with this corporate world and just, you know, be one of a number in a company and just try to find maybe another bank, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, talking about the struggles, mm-hmm. like, during that time, I had just recently gotten married for my first wife and... she was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
She was 7 months pregnant and I had just got fired from the bank.
Ooh,
right.
Wow.
And I was the main provider. So for me, it was like, oh man, what am I going to do? Right.
Pressure.
And I kind of like, you know, kept it a secret for a bit. I didn't tell her that I got fired and I went to go work for this construction company.
Commission only. Right.
And I had a small savings that I was using just to get by. And see, that was a struggle in the beginning for me.
This is exactly what we want to talk about, because most people, when they go through these challenges, especially having a, you know, brand new baby, or get, you just got married, you got fired, most people will be like, man, you know what? It's time to go back to a safe job, a salary job, just so I can be safe. But you're like, you know what? I have this pressure, right? And I need to grow out of this, right? Because I need to be a provider, and I don't want to be a number anymore, right? That's a big accomplishment right there, man. Like, throughout that, what kept you going?
I just think about always winning, like figuring out how I can do better in the situation that I'm in. As a kid, mm-hmm. growing up, my dad was the one that kind of motivated his brothers to buy a house together. So my dad and his brother bought a house together. So it was a bunch of kids living in the house. I was the smallest one. So I was the one that was always bullied. Right. So I had to figure out how I was going to make it, because my parents worked all day. My uncles worked all day. It's like five kids running around, pretty much raising ourselves.
Yourselves.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess like that as a kid, the competitiveness, being the smallest one. And then I guess that was probably what has been inside me. And I'll give a lot of credit to my dad, too. My dad was always like goal driven.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't there a lot because he worked, but he said, if you get these grades, this is what I'm going to buy you. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's has always been inside me. Like, if I do this, if this business grows to this point, I'll be able to buy this, or I'll be able to do this. And
yeah,
that's what motivates me.
So you got what you got out of that was a strong suit that made you a driven person.
Yeah.
And so no one really had to be on your ass. You pretty much set yourself up to, I got to figure this out.
Right.
When you were put with your back against the wall, you made shit happen.
Yep.
And so that was your first business. What was your second business?
So after that, I got into staffing.
Okay.
So
made you want to go in staffing?
Yeah. And how long was the term, like from here to there? Like it was just, you just moved right into it, or?
So what happened is, once I started seeing this decline in profit margins.
On the solar industry.
In the solar industry. Mm-hmm. I started associating with other people that were successful in their industries.
Okay.
And I had a good friend that introduced me to his circle of friends, and they were in staffing. I had no idea what they were doing, but I just knew they were doing something, and they were killing it. Right. Mm-hmm. And they were doing great and something. Yeah. So I became a part of that, and I joined them on a lot of like the networking events, even like dinners, right? Like just going out with the guys. And that's how I got to learn about what they were doing.
Got you. So that kind of opened your mind to other ways of making money.
Yeah. And I feel like with a lot of industries or a lot of successful people, some of them are more secretive about what works for them. So I felt like in the beginning, I had to like get so close to these guys
to open up.
Feel comfortable. Like, okay, we'll tell you what's working for us. And then I did that while my solar was declining, because I was like, I got to find the next move.
Right.
Right. So then when I sold that solar company, I used those funds to fund the...
You invested in
the invested next in the staffing industry.
And what year did you start your staffing agency?
I was 24, 11 years ago.
11 years ago. And how many people are you up to now in the staffing?
We have probably over 1,500 employees.
1,500. Wow. Now, yeah. What's your goal to grow that to? What's the next thing in that?
So I think with the staffing, it's a little bit complicated, because it's very similar to real estate. Like for you guys, it's very cutthroat. Like we gain a client, but at the same time, we lose one, you know, because it's always like you got to always keep the wheels spinning. Because it's just so competitive out there. There's always, every day, there's probably 15, 20 sales reps knocking on our clients' doors.
And it's high turnover, so constantly.
Yeah. So, and it's also, I mean, there's so many factors, because everybody provides the same service.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just somebody's willing to go cheaper.
So if you were to stand out from everyone else and be able to keep them, what would have to happen in your business?
I believe in, you know, what makes you successful is maintaining your relationships, right? So checking in regularly. As an owner, you can't step back and let the company or the employees do the work. You know, you you do delegate, but at the same time, you make sure you still have a touch in the business to where the clients feel comfortable reaching out to you. Like, hey, Ivan, something's going on. Do you want to grab a lunch really quick so we can talk? You know, those are the relationships that you have to have with your clients.
To stay strong.
To stay strong. And that way, kind of, it makes it harder for somebody to leave you when times get tough.
Wow. So that was 11 years that you started that. And tell us about business number three.
So I opened my first restaurant, was like 4 years ago.
Okay.
And so one thing that I started doing when I became more successful is I wanted to invest in other people. So I had this idea, younger people, right? I had this idea of creating a program called Yen. And I never did it just because I got so busy with the restaurants.
Okay.
But it was going to be Young Entrepreneur Network.
Gotcha.
And I was going to mentor younger people, like, well, you know, somebody who could have helped me in the beginning, guide me to avoid some of the mistakes I made.
Okay.
And then at the same time, maybe find some really good business ideas. Right. So what I did is my first person that I was mentoring or I was helping was my cousin. He had a taco stand in front of his house and they were killing it. There was every weekend it was packed. There was a lot of people and they became popular on social media, which is what makes businesses multiply nowadays, right? Yeah.
Through social Scalable. Media. Scalable.
Yep. So they got really busy and I reached out to him. I was like, hey, could some funds help you in growing your restaurant? So I gave him a loan for his first location.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, let's do it. Cause he, I mean, everybody who's like in catering or in the food industry wants to open a brick and mortar.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the goal.
That's the goal. And then that's where they opened their first location. But I always told him, you know, but I want to be a partner in the second location. So that's when I opened the second location for Tacos Los Cholos in Fullerton.
Okay. So and the first one was Anaheim.
First one was Anaheim, but the first one was his.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we opened it up together in Fullerton.
In Fullerton.
Nice. And then the struggles there, you know, it's, I've never been in the restaurant industry. Right?
Especially jumping from like completely different industries, right? You were in the banking and then from there.
Solar,
yeah. And then staffing. And now a restaurant is like completely different. Usually yep. You just jump from like, at least they're associated in one way or another, but
yeah.
Completely different.
But you know what I found out is that what makes your, like for me, what makes my businesses successful is being able to not be afraid to hire somebody who is an expert in the industry. Some people let their egos like, no, I want to be the smartest one in the room, right?
Yeah.
So with the restaurants, I always made sure that I hired good chefs, good taqueros, good customer service, pay them high amounts so they want to be there.
So they're happy.
And then motivate them every day. The morale has to be good. And that applied in everything, you know? In Solar, when I had my sales reps, like I paid them high commissions, so they felt like they were my partners, right?
I get that. I feel your cousin that's worked with you for a long time, he loves the business as if it was his too, because he gets treated like a business partner. And he loves this guy. I mean, talk about best friends. They're like brothers.
Yeah.
And so I admire that you create those relationships and people that help you grow your business. And that's going to continue taking you a long way because you're taking care of people along the way, which is rare to find.
Yeah.
Where'd you learn that?
Yeah. That was going to be my question. Well, yeah.
You know, I've never thought about it. I guess for me, I've always just put myself in their shoes as the employee because I've had a lot of bad managers. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've always been like, man, I'd never want to be like them when I'm a manager or an owner.
Uh-huh.
Right. And that's always been for me like, okay, what would have made me work harder? What would have made me be more dedicated in this company? Uh-huh. And I try to do that for them. You know, like recently last year, we closed the restaurants and we took everybody to Disneyland just for the day.
Wow.
And it was so much fun. Like everybody was like, it just makes everybody so much closer that the group chat we have for the company goes wild sometimes. It's like hundreds and hundreds. It's because everybody is their friends, their family, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome that you created that, you know, in the business for everyone around. That's awesome. One thing I want to share and I admire about you is that you always have family outings. You're real connected with your daughters and, mm-hmm. and your girl, and you guys are all about being together. You have family night.
Yeah.
How often do you have that?
Every week on Wednesdays.
That's it. Nothing changes. Even if someone calls to ask you for an appointment, that's booked solid for that.
Yep. You know, I've always said staying busy also includes busy with your family, right? So if somebody calls me and tells me like, hey, we have this, I already have an important meeting on Wednesdays. So yeah, we get together every Wednesday. We bounce around. So one Wednesday, my mom cooks. One Wednesday, we cook at my house. And then
that already became close.
That's a norm.
That's a normal.
Yeah.
That's a booked appointment every single Doesn't matter if
the president calls. It doesn't matter who calls. It's already set.
Yep.
And that's a challenge that a lot of people have because they're like, oh, I have to handle this. I'm not going to go tonight. You know, I'm going to have to handle this. Mm-hmm. That's not an option for you.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that from? Who'd you learn this stuff from? I want to know.
Again, that one I don't have the answer for. I don't know. I think that it's something that I learned. It wasn't always this way. Like when I opened my first business, you know, these are the learning stages, right? Like when I started becoming successful at a young age, mm-hmm. I made a lot of mistakes, right?
What were some of those mistakes?
See, that's you know, something that I want to dig into because a lot of people make some mistakes, right? Earlier you said, you know, you kind of isolated yourself. You didn't want to tell anything. You said, I kept this kind of like a secret, right? Most people, when they have problems, they isolate themselves, right? They don't want to tell nobody, right? Who was your support team when you were going through this? Was just yourself? You relied on yourself, or did you have a support team?
No, I just I've always just been me, like just by myself.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I think like going back to what you guys were asking, some of those mistakes is just, you know, immaturity. When you start making money at a young age, you blow it on stupid things. I travel, you know. And I was married, remember? I was recently married, but I was traveling on my own when I should have been at home, right? Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, I learned that now my family is everything. So right. I try to spend more time with the kids, which is why I'm old whenever I have them. We do activities together. Every Wednesday, I'm with my family and my parents because this is something that I've learned is required for me to be more successful.
I mean, I believe that personally, right? If you don't mess up 3, 4, 5, 6 different times big time, you're kind of not living, right? And you have to have that experience, which is kind of what you're saying right now. You messed up, and then that made you value what you were missing, right? You came to the conclusion that, well, you know what? This is more valuable for me, right? You did mention first wife. Did you marry after that or?
No, so it's in the works. You know, I've been dating somebody. So I've been dating somebody for 3 years now, mm-hmm. almost going on 4. And yeah, of course, I'm working towards getting married because I believe that you need to have a core at home that keeps you grounded. That if I was single, I don't know if I would be as successful as I am.
Gotcha.
Right? Like I need to have something that
anchors
me. Yeah.
Yes. Right. I mean, even that what you just mentioned is a challenge for a lot of people because running a business while you got a divorce, right? Like that must have been hard because it's some hard stuff. And some people, when they're getting a divorce, they kind of lose everything else, right? I know several people right now that are going through that, right? And their businesses are pretty much done.
Yeah.
And they're so focused on what's going on with that relationship or what happened, what could have, should have, would have, right? All that. How did you work through all that?
Yeah. So I think even to add on top of that, like another thing that was going on during that time,
mm-hmm.
We were dissolving a staffing agency that I had because just differences, you know, I don't want to get too much into detail with what happened, but we're breaking down it. We're separating, dividing the, not only with my ex-wife, but also with this business partnership.
At the same time.
At the exact same time.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah. So for me, I don't know if one or the other kept me going more because I had to take many roles during this time to make sure that, you know, the new company I was opening
mm-hmm.
was going to work.
Right.
So I took on
affected by all the old energy.
Yeah, exactly. So I think all that keeping me busy is kind of what also helped me.
Got it.
You know, go through the whole change at home too.
oh, gotcha, since you were going through this and also that, it was like, shit, you're getting hit from everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. I got to remain busy.
Just stayed busy. Yeah.
Right.
So when you went through those challenges at that time, when you were dissolving two things.
Yeah.
What was the one thing that you said that hit you that helped you power through that?
Right. Because most people, they're going through that
they
shit.
They fall apart.
You know what?
Depression, I'm done. All kinds of shit.
I'm
right?
kind of done.
You know, I think back to it, I think, which is probably not the best reason, but for me was also how much other people were talking negatively about me because of the divorce. You know, I come from very strong religious beliefs too, where divorce is not an option.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So because of that, I felt like I had to prove it to everybody that, you know, I'm still going to figure out.
I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons that kept me going during that time.
Wow. So if you were to redo all of this all over again, because it's successful, what would you do different this time?
I would apply the work-life balance more.
From the beginning.
Know, from the beginning. Yeah. Just I think that we can still be successful and maintain, you know, a good balance with your family, your kids.
Yeah.
So that's what I would have done different.
But every time you went through something, right, it kind of built your character to become the person that you are now, right? You think that without those struggles or challenges, you will be the same person?
Oof. That's a good question. Well, I think that everything I've gone through has made me who I am, so maybe not, you know?
Right.
But knowing, you know, your question was knowing what I know, what I've done so far, what would I have done different? Right. It's easy to say that, right?
Yes.
But I think everything has taught me to be who I am today.
Where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Crazy. Wild. So where do you want to take? Let's talk about Prime Cuts. Prime Cuts is the taqueria restaurant you have. Now you have a few. You have one in Placentia and you have one in Huntington Beach, right across the street from the pier. Where do you want to take this business next? How big?
So the goal is to open two per year. We're looking at some locations right now to expand.
Okay.
I want to grow to at least 10.
Okay.
On my own, and then figure out how to franchise them or maybe bring in partners, investors to do more. But I want it to be because, you know, like I was telling you guys before this, we started this conversation or this podcast, that once you figure out the equation, you just multiply from that point, right?
Right, right.
So I think we've figured out the equation and now I just want to keep multiplying it and get to have 50, 60, maybe the next in and out, you know?
Oof. In tacos.
That's big,
in tacos, yeah.
That's big.
Keep the menu simple, you know?
Yeah.
That'll be amazing.
It is simple, but what separates his place from everyone else is the name tells it, Prime Cuts.
Right.
He has ribeye tacos. He has filet mignon tacos. Yeah. He has stuff that other places don't have the sazon that you have.
Right.
Dude, it's if you have not tried Prime Cuts in Huntington Beach or Placentia, it's a must 100%. What's the biggest thing that you sell there? What's the number one seller?
I think it's the arrachera, the skirt steak.
A skirt steak.
Yeah, tacos. So we have three tiers. We have our regular meats, our premium, and our prime.
Mm-hmm.
But the arrachera with people like to do like the surf and turf with shrimp. Uh-huh. And we have this loaded papa. It's like a baked potato.
Yeah. Massive.
Amazing. Massive. And people love that. That's probably one of our number one sellers.
That's a big hit. And so you're going right into the prime time, the spring going into the summer in Huntington Beach. The sales are going to go through crazy.
The U.S. Open?
The summer.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, right now you're going through a lot of things, right? You're cultivating a relationship, right? You're becoming a family man with stronger bonds and all that, right? You're opening up more business. Obviously, problems keep on coming, right? It's not like they just stop automatically, right? What helps you cultivate this mindset to just continue to just be resilient and push through it all?
I think because of how much I've already been through, like nothing surprises me anymore. Like something comes up, we'll figure it out.
Right. So it's a matter of getting a problem, but not getting stuck on the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of just seeing it flow.
Yep. Day by day. Everything that can come up can be, if it's not solved that day, it will eventually be solved.
Now you always every day, his routine is he goes to the gym. He has his routine for eating right.
Got you.
And everything about the way he takes care of himself.
Right.
It's almost like you're priming yourself up, boom, to go attack. And so when you live that way, it becomes a norm. It's easier to, is it easier to handle situations?
Yeah, I believe so.
He's positive. Would you say he's positive? I mean, fuck, when you really think about it, quitting hasn't been an option. Yeah. And he never even
did you ever think about it
or anything.
Did you ever think about it?
You know, honestly,
did it cross your mind?
There's only been one time where I was ready to quit.
When was that?
I had been paying rent for my Huntington Beach location.
Okay.
For like 14 months. And Huntington Beach is right on the beach, right? So you can imagine how much I was paying every month.
Yeah.
15 months in, I couldn't open this restaurant. I wasn't able to pass inspections.
He hadn't even opened.
I hadn't opened.
There's no money coming in.
Nothing.
Right.
And I had my inspection that I was like, you know what? This is it. This is the one that I'm going to pass and we're going to open later today.
And then another thing came up.
And that day I remember parking my car outside the restaurant. And I was like, maybe I just quit.
Right.
Maybe I give up. You know what? Right. I tried. It didn't work. It's not for me. But then I called my girl and I was like, hey, you know, and I could barely speak from how frustrated I was. And I told her, like, we didn't pass the inspection. And I'm like, I don't know how much longer we can do this. And she's like, well, what do we have to fix? What did they find this time? She's like, let's fix
it. She didn't fit into whatever you were feeling.
She's like, snap out of it.
Yeah. So what I needed at that moment because, you know, I'm not a quitter. But that time is the first time I ever was like, man, am I going to quit?
You were hesitant.
Yeah. Right. But just that quick call was like, all right. You're
back
right.
On. Boom, right. Let's back go. Into it, right?
Back to it.
How do you even know you're a man of faith if your faith has never been tested, right? And at that point, she just didn't even feed into whatever you were feeling. She just, hey, well, what do we got to do?
Yep.
Right? That was a big moment.
If you really think about it, it's something really simple, but you were just being beat down by the city, challenge after challenge after challenge with inspections and fire marshal and all that stuff. But for her, it was just like, okay, well, let's just fix that.
Yep. Do you think there was any like sort of politics or anything in there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, now that I've been open for almost 2 years, Huntington Beach, I love Huntington Beach, right?
They love you too.
Yeah, they love us too.
Yeah, I mean, I lived there for 6 years.
But in the beginning, I wasn't sure, you know? It's like,
you didn't know what to expect.
I didn't know what to expect because it's just one thing after another. I'm like, maybe they don't even want me here.
Bro, they embraced you just like you embraced them. I've seen the fire department there eating, like they're in line and cops are eating there. And it's like,
you're looking
it's a staple now.
Yeah.
And then to win the number one restaurant in Huntington Beach, that's massive.
When was that? Was that 2024?
That was just recently.
Yeah.
A few months ago.
Yeah. Best restaurant.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
You know what it is? What it took? I got more involved. Like I became a member of the Chamber of Commerce. I started joining all the meetings. I made some good connections. They guided me on who to talk to, what to do. And that after that, it's just we became well-known in the community. So the networking is what
great
did
move.
It.
Yeah. Great move.
Right. You were like, man, I'm getting stuck.
Well,
these
now
guys
the mayor knows you.
Me.
Now the city council, they were there for the anniversary, right?
Yep. The one-year anniversary.
What? One-year anniversary. Yeah, we were there. And city council came and they gave him his, you know, his nice plaque and everything. It was really cool. Wow. So do you have another business in mind that you're looking at going into? Or are you going to launch that yen? I like that yen.
That's a good idea, right?
Dude.
I would love to. With time, I will do it. But there's something that I'm working on right now with Diana, my girlfriend.
Okay.
Is she's getting her certification in Pilates. And
another business.
Yeah. So with this one.
Another completely different business.
Completely different. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I believe in this one because, you know, I'm into fitness a lot, And she has taken me a few times to this Pilates studio called Hot Pilates in LA.
Okay.
And it's so popular over there. Mm-hmm. Celebrities pop in all the time, right?
Really?
Yeah. So I went, and I feel like I'm pretty athletic. I was ready to give up like 15 minutes into this workout. I'm like, this is not for me, because it's one, it's Pilates and it's hot in there. So I was like, man, I'm not going to make it. But I walked out and I was like, I accomplished it. I stayed the whole hour and I felt amazing. And I was like, okay, where else do they have these hot Pilates at? It's the only one.
Like hot, it's like hot yoga, but Pilates. Yeah. Itself. Oh, got it. Floor got
Pilates.
It.
Yeah, mat Pilates.
Right. You know what?
Oh, so it's not the machines that they have.
It's not the reformer. The
Nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's the next thing you guys are
that's
looking
into.
That's
what we're working on, yeah.
And over here, Orange County.
Yep. I think it's going to hit. I mean, they're starting to bits, some more pop here there. There's one in San Diego, one in Costa Mesa. So we got to hurry.
Right.
Do it.
Yeah.
Kind of be a pioneer in that market right now you can. I mean, from what I'm hearing from you, man, you've been pioneering a lot of the industries, like the solar, you jumped right on it. Right. You saw a little bit changing. You got out, boom, sold it, went into the next big thing that you saw. Right. What keeps you on top of what you're doing? Like, is there something that you say, you know what, this is hitting? Is that like something that you have inside of you? Or do you study? Or because this is a skill, man. Yeah. It's not just something
it's
that
a skill,
just
bro.
You just pick up off the streets, you know?
I think it goes back to what I said earlier, where investing in the right people. Mm. Like once you know you have somebody who is talented, you just, and it's even if like it's all been new to me, right? The restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The like this new business idea we have, the Pilates. Mm-hmm. But my girlfriend is very, you know, she's taking the time to get the certification, which is like 2-year certification. Okay. So it's not just a weekend certification, because there's something like that. And then with the restaurants, once I saw my cousin that I believed in him, and I was like, okay, this is going to work. So just once you find somebody talented, it's just investing in them, believing in them. And then I think that's what's worked for me.
Wow. So if you were to share some secret, some gold with some young entrepreneurs or people that want to be entrepreneurs or start a business that they've been thinking about, what would you say to those people?
I would say just work hard and stay out of the comfort zone. You know, find a job at first, because you have to find a job first that makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
Like whether it's sales, if you're an introvert, or something completely different that you don't know. But once you continue to put yourself at an uncomfortable position, it brings out like something inside you that you didn't even know you had, right? Like it makes you grow. And once you have all these different, you know, weapons in your briefcase, then at that moment you go and you find what's for you.
Yeah, that's powerful, because the formula is like, as soon as you're feeling comfortable, you're doing the wrong thing. Let's go feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're not challenging yourself. Yeah.
You're not challenging yourself enough, right? That's huge, man. That's huge. If you can go back and be like, you know what, this is what I define as success, right? How would you define success?
I think it's just the flexibility to do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. You know, I don't have to report to anybody,
mm-hmm.
but I am disciplined enough to know what I need to do. But at the same time, you know, it's, I can choose this weekend to go, because we're actually going to Palm Springs this weekend with my kids. Nice. And we just thought about it today.
Beautiful.
Right? That's what it's
spur of the moment. You.
Yeah.
Bam, let's go. Now, so what does a normal day look like for you? Like today, if you didn't have this, what would your day, what time does it start to what time do you go to bed?
Yeah.
What is that?
So the for me in the morning, I wake up at 6. I get the kids ready, drop them off at school. Then I hit the gym from 8 till like 9:30. And then depending on what day it is, Mondays, I'll be here in Placentia. Tuesdays, I'll be in Corona, my staffing agency. Wednesdays, I'll go to Huntington Beach. And Thursdays and Fridays, I'm back here in Placentia. So I do have a routine. I'm a man of routines. Like I have to have, you know, follow my routines. Mm-hmm. And everything begins with going to the gym. If I don't go to the gym, I don't feel good all day.
The whole day's messed up, huh?
Yeah, it is. So that's what it is for me.
That's a sign, Benny. gotta go to the gym.
Because even if say like the day was like I didn't get to accomplish enough, but I went to the gym in the morning. You know, for me, that's enough to make me feel, you know, enough endorphins to feel good.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. And you hit work till about what time, and then what happens?
I try to be home before 6 every day.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I used to be where I would work all day, and, you know, But now I almost get like this depressing feeling if I'm not home, because I put my kids to bed at 8:30. Mm-hmm. So if I get there past 6, I don't even have time to spend with my kids. We'll eat dinner and they're going to bed.
Yes.
Right? So, but if I get home at 5, we get some, you know, I love doing arts and crafts with them. So we'll do some arts and crafts and then we'll have dinner and then they'll go to sleep.
So speaking of that, because you spend a lot of time with them, did you always have the ability to be present with your family when you were with your family? Because being a business owner, you're thinking of other things while yeah. you're in the same room. So
right.
on a scale from 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself right now on being present?
I think I'm pretty high on the scale. I'd okay. say like an 8. Because even when I'm doing some work stuff, I'm having them do something with me at the table.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. we'll have little competitions. I'll give them a subject, they'll draw it, and then I choose, I'll be the judge, things like that. But I'm there present. You know, I'll work and then I'll take time to you know, give them my full attention.
Did you always have that?
No. So that's part of the whole, what I've learned what the most. Learned. Yeah. Before.
Right.
I'd be home. Let's say if I took a day off, but I wasn't really home. I was on my phone. I was on the laptop. Yeah.
So see, that's what present really means. You can be there for your kids, absolutely. Be in front of them. But if you're not there, then you know that you're not really present, right?
Yep.
So you're able to disconnect from work. When you're at home, you're at home.
Yeah.
When you're at work, you're at work. Wow. That's a muscle to build. That's an art.
Absolutely. You know what? How important is faith for you?
Very important.
Gotcha.
I go to church twice a week.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, because I mean, a lot of people don't have anything to look forward to, right? But like 14, you were talking about 14 months that you were doing the construction and didn't pass all the whatever the exams they had, right? All these inspections, right? And it had to take some faith, right? To see in through the darkness. Right. Because there were some days there was no money coming in. Yeah. Right. And for you, you got it. And you're like, you know what? This is something that I got. You made one phone call throughout that whole 14 months. And that phone call got you right back on track. Yeah. Right. So faith plays a big role in your life.
Yeah.
Right. Like a relationship with God or whatever you do. Right. OK. That is impressive because a lot of people don't really look forward to anything. Right. You had a very impressive story, man. You know, it's been good interviewing you. There's a lot of things that people go through that this is why we're creating this podcast, because a lot of people go through challenges and as soon as they run into something, they're ready to quit. Right. And you went through several trials and tribulations by going, you know, I don't know how your upbringings were, right? But if you had to tell the youth or anyone going through some issues, some advice, right? Like when you went through this thing where you isolated yourself, a lot of people fall into depression because they're by themselves. They feel like nobody really cares about them, yeah. right? They feel like they're just there alone, even if you're surrounded by 1,000 people, right? What advice can you give someone when they're going through some real challenging times, right? Because at the end of the day, you build and you have this no quitter mentality, right? What will you tell them? Like, hey guys, what?
I think I recently heard this quote where it said something like, you know, when you think too much about your problems, you make them grow, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're going through something, I always like to separate it, you know, and concentrate of what my goal is in front of me. You know, day by day, and hopefully by the time I'm done with this goal or task that I had for that day, then that problem is smaller.
Got it.
Right. So there's going to be struggles. I always like to just concentrate on something that I want to accomplish good and then find a solution for the problem later.
The big gold nugget I think that I got from him today was get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's massive.
I mean, make it part of your process, right? Because as soon as you're feeling comfortable, move.
That's when you're growing. Anything else you want to add? We're coming to
No, that's to it. Thank end. You so much for having me.
Oh, man, it was a pleasure. Thank you for coming. I know you have a busy day. You have all kinds of stuff you got to run around town to handle, and we appreciate that you found time to be here and share with the world what you're, you know, story is. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and make sure you guys go check out the Prime Cuts in Huntington Beach.
Gotta Prime Cuts.
Yes.
What's the Instagram for Prime Cuts?
Prime Cut Taqueria.
Prime Cut Taqueria. And what about your staffing agency? What's the name of the agency? If you guys out there looking for a job or know someone that could use a job, where do they go? It's
Elite HR. So also the same thing, Elite HR Staffing on Instagram.
There you are. Anybody can do it, guys. Ivan's a true story, proof that it's possible. So we'll see you guys next week.
All right, guys, let's go.